بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين، وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، وبعد. فقد قال جل وعلا في كتابه المجيد وفرقانه الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وقل لعبادي يقول التي هي أحسن، إن الشيطان ينزغ بينهم، إن الشيطان كان للإنسان عدوا مبينا. صدق الله العظيم. Honorable scholars, respected brothers, elders, mothers and sisters, our topic of discussion tonight is yet once again a very vital and integral topic, and that is peaceful coexistence. Once a particular imam walked into the masjid, addressing the congregation. He said, "Today I have two things before you. I have good news and I have bad news. Good news is that we now have sufficient funds
to complete our masjid project, and we have adequate funds to complete the adjacent building
that is attached to the masjid for the institution purpose." That's the good news. Now comes the bad news. The bad news is the money is still in your pockets. In that very same vein, I say to you, we have good news that as Muslims we have the formula to rescue the world from the turmoil and the turbulence that it is experiencing. The bad news is that we are hoarding the formula. The bad news is that the formula is in my pocket. It's in my booklet. It's in my shelf. If only we can rise up to the challenge of the hour and exhibit the exemplary character and manifest the impeccable qualities of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then as I will endeavor to explain, you would see the magnetic impact it would have on the broader people across the globe. The narration is mentioned in Tibrani. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam exits from one of the apartments of his honorable consorts. With him is Ali radiyallahu anhu. فَأَتَاهُ رَجُلٌ عَلَىٰ رَاحِلَتِهِ كَالْبَدَوِ. When suddenly a person advances towards him, mounted on his conveyance, looked like a Bedouin. He came and he said, "O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I have invited my people to Islam and they have accepted the message, and I promised them material prosperity. On the reverse, وَقَدْ أَصَابَتْهُمْ سَنَةٌ. By the will of Allah, they've been gripped by famine and drought. فَأَخْشَى أَن يَخْرُجُوا مِنَ الْإِسْلَامِ طَمَعًا كَمَا دَخَلُوا فِيهِ طَمَعًا. I am afraid that this adversity and this famine must not have a reverse effect upon them. They entered passionately. It must not be that they forsake Islam quickly. If you have any monetary assistance, would you kindly pass it on to me? Perhaps I could rescue their plight through monetary aid." Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam modestly gazed at Ali, who was with him, and asked him, "Do we have anything at hand?" He said, "O Nabi of Allah, the funds are depleted. It's exhausted. We don't have anything." Just then this gentleman comes forward who was of a Jewish faith. Nay, he was a rabbi. He was a priest. Zayd ibn Su'na. He said, "O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I'm prepared to give you money if you can give me dates after a period of time. I can see you are in need of some funds." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "That's fine." Took the money now and made a deal that he would be paid the dates that he is asked for in due time. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam took the money, gave it to the Bedouin, and said, "Aghithhum wa'adil bainahum." Use the money, apply your mind, and distribute it fairly amongst these people who have reverted to Islam. This particular happening ended, concluded. The villager went The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Ali moved on. Zayd ibn Su'na, the Jewish rabbi, left. There was a time that was fixed that within this time the money would be paid back to him. A day before the time had lapsed. So there was one more day of grace left to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Zayd ibn Su'na comes from the rear, and he harshly grips the blessed garment of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he says, "You Quraysh, you people have a reputation of prolonging payments. Ya Muhammad, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, give me my due." And he said, "As I was harshly demanding my money from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I happened to glance at Umar, who was next door. وَعَيْنَاهُ تَدُورَانِ كَالْفَلَكِ الْمُسْتَدِيرِ. And I seen Umar's eyeballs were turning viciously. He looked at me and he said, Ya Adu Allah, أَتَقُولُ لِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ مَا أَسْمَعُ. Am I hearing correct? Are you speaking to Allah's Nabi like this? How dare you blurt things like this?" Bearing in mind, let's not forget, the time that was granted had not yet lapsed. This was a deliberate provocation from him, as the narration explains. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not argue the logistics that, you know what, my time has not ended, I still have a day. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Umar, that's not the way we deal with situations. You should have been more wise in your approach. أن تأمرني بحسن الأداء. Umar, you should have instructed me. Allah's Nabi is telling Umar, you should have instructed me and told me I must be more prompt with my payments. And you should have told Zayd ibn Su'na he should be more lenient in demanding his due. Umar, your approach is going to compound the problem. It's going to exacerbate the crisis. We're not moving forward. You should have told me, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, be prompt with your payments. And you should have told Zayd ibn Su'na should be more lenient when he demands his due. Now you take him, Umar, give him his due, and give him an added amount because of your harshness. Where is this character in the world? Can you imagine how the emotions of Umar were put to test? A man that's provoking you and inciting you, Allah's Nabi is telling you, be calm, be gentle, be polite. And that's not all, give him an added amount. Umar radiallahu anhu said, I complied and I started walking. As we walk in, my blood is gushing and I am, you know what, furious and angry. How dare someone speaks to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam like this? He said, أَتَعْرِفُنِي يَا عُمَرُ. Umar, do you know who I am? In my translation, Umar said, I don't know and I don't want to know. I don't know and I don't want to know. He said, Umar, I am Zayd ibn Su'na. Umar said, Al-Habr, the rabbi, the priest, the learned fellow. He said, yes, indeed. So Umar said, if you're such a learned man, you represent a faith, you shouldn't be speaking things like this and making such provocative sentiments. He said, Umar, let me tell you, I studied the biography of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I closely monitored his moves. I was convinced beyond doubt he is the final messenger. I had reservation in two qualities, and I've actually come to test those two qualities. I read in the divine scriptures, يَسْبُقُ حِلْمُهُ جَهْلَهُ وَلَا تَزِيدُ شِدَّةُ الْجَهْلِ عَلَيْهِ إِلَّا حِلْمًا, that his forbearance surpasses his anger. And the more you aggravate him, the more calm he becomes. The more you incite him, the more composed he becomes. Umar, I have put it to trial and I am convinced that he is the Nabi. I don't want anything. I make you my witness. I am one of the most prominent people of Medina. I proclaim the kalima, and half my wealth is in charity to Allah's Nabi and the cause of Islam. Ushiduka anna shatra mali sadaqatan lil Islam. I make you my witness that half of my wealth is a charity to Islam. What did it take to convince this person into the beauty of Islam? It was the forbearance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There are so many incidents in this regard that elucidate and expound the very same theory. Umair ibn Wahab, let me share with you another narration. This is a narration of Hakim. A Sahabi by the name of Alqama radiyallahu anhu came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was very impressed with his eloquence. He was very articulate in speech. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam asked him, "Who are you and where do you come from, Alqama?" He said, "We are seven in the group and I am a Muslim. And all those with me are equal Muslims." So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Likulli qawlin haqiqa. فَمَا حَقِيقَةُ إِيمَانِكُمْ." There is a proof to every claim. How do you substantiate your claim? And this is what I often say. Today we have created many symbols amongst ourselves by virtue of which we identify ourselves as Muslims. Allah hasn't endorsed these symbols as the reflection of Iman. I don't know here, but back home in South Africa, many people have the 786, which is symbolic to Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. So many people would keep a mobile number as 786, a number plate as 786, a phone number as 786, and they appease themselves that I have reflected something by virtue of which society identifies with me as a Muslim. I'm saying this is not the grounds of which identification will take place in the court of Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "What is the proof that you are a believer?" He said, "We have 15 qualities. Khamsun amartana biha. Khamsun amaratna biha rusuluk. Khamsun takhallaqna biha fil jahiliyyah. Wa nahnu alayha ila al-an illa an tanhana ya Rasulullah. Five I heard direct from you, five I heard from your messengers, and five were found in us from the very era of darkness. Unless you choose to prohibit us, we will then forsake it. But these were good qualities that were found in us from our ancient days and from our ancestry. We've inherited them." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "And explain to me which are the five that you heard direct from me." He said, "Amartana an nu'mina billahi wa malaikatihi wa kutubihi wa rusulihi wal qadri khayrihi wa sharrihi." You've instructed us to believe on Allah, His angels, the books, the prophets, and that good and bad fate comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. "Wa mal khamsu allati amaratkum biha rusuli." And what are the five that my messengers have commanded you? He said, "Amaratna rusuluk an nashhada an la ilaha illallah wa annaka 'abduhu wa rasuluh. ونقيم الصلاة المكتوبة ونؤدي الزكاة ونصوم رمضان ونحج البيت إن استطعنا إليه سبيلا." We heard from your messengers that we should believe in the oneness of Allah, in your finality, observe the prayers, discharge the charity, and perform the five daily prayers. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "And what are those five that you had in you from the days of darkness?" Now listen to these qualities. This was found in the pagan Arab, even in the era of darkness. He said, "Ash-shukru 'inda ar-rakha, was-sabru 'inda al-bala, was-sidqu fi mawatin al-liqa, war-radha bi murr al-qada, wa tark ash-shamatah bil-musiba idha hallat bil-a'da." Number one, we had this inherent in our teachings that we must be grateful in moments of prosperity. Ash-shukru 'inda ar-rakha was-sabru 'inda al-bala. We must persevere and endure in moments of hardship and difficulty. Was-sidqu fi mawatin al-liqa. And we must be honest and transparent when we deal with Muslims or non-Muslims alike. Now there is an amazing incident in Bidayah wa Nihaya, which is the works of Ibn Kathir rahimahullah. He's made mention of the narration and I read it in detail. When Huzaifa ibn Yaman radiyallahu anhu was migrating from Makkah Mukarrama to Medina Munawwara, and his migration coincided with the expedition of Badr, which goes down as one of the most sacred campaigns in the annals of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Huzaifa radiyallahu anhu, for the record, the confidant of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his father Yaman radiyallahu anhu, both father and son are migrating from Makkah to Medina. On the way, they were intercepted by Abu Jahl, who was also mobilizing his people and going to battle in Badr with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abu Jahl apprehends Huzaifa radiyallahu anhu and he says, no, we're not going to release you, because if we release you, you will go to Medina, join the Muslims, become reinforcement for them against us. So basically, we are contributing to our own destruction. Hence, we will not release you. Huzaifa ibn Yaman pleads to him and says, release us and we will not go and aid the Muslims and assist the Muslims. After much negotiation, on the pretext, on the agreement that you will go to Medina, you will not participate in the campaign, I will release you. He said, it's a done deal. Huzaifa and his father Yaman radiyallahu anhuma were released and they leave from Makkah. And when they get to Medina, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is on the outskirts of Medina marching towards Badr. And with him are the Sahaba. So they come and they join. They said, oh Prophet of Allah, can we join you? He said, yes. As they walk in, Huzaifa radiyallahu anhu said, oh Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I would just like to mention to you for the record that as I was coming, I was apprehended by Abu Jahl. I was intercepted by Abu Jahl. And then after lengthy negotiations, he finally released me on the pretext that I will not assist you people in the battle. But I just said it to appease him. Abu Jahl is the arch enemy of Islam. Can I join you? Read the narration. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Huzaifa, you cannot join us. You gave Abu Jahl your word, you have to honor it. Abu Jahl, the most proud man in this ummah, the Fir'aun of this ummah, the man who had caused the greatest pain to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say to Huzaifa radiallahu anhu? No. You promised a disbeliever. You gave him a verbal contract. It's a binding contract. Honor your verbal commitments to whomsoever you make it. Whether it's Muhammad or Peter, Yusuf or Thomas, Ibrahim or John, Islam compels us that we honor our dealings when we're dealing with fellow Muslims or fellow citizens or fellow humans. For the record, those who participated in Badr, the accolade, the merit, the privilege that they enjoy is so unique. Bukhari Sharif, second volume, Jibreel descends. And he asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, مَا تَعُدُّونَ أَهْلَ بَدْرٍ فِيكُمْ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how do you view the participants of Badr? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, we grade them as the best amongst us. So there is a Badri, a participant of Badr, and there is a non-participant. The one who participated surpasses a non-participant by far. Jibreel said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, وَكَذَلِكَ مَنْ شَهِدَ بَدْرًا مِنَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ Just as the participant of Badr is more senior to the non-participant, in the very same breath and in the very same vein, the malaika that descended to aid the Sahaba in Badr, those angels rank superior to other angels who did not descend in Badr. So this ranking is not only amongst the humans, this ranking is also amongst the malaika. And Imam Bukhari has mentioned a tarjumatul bab, a chapter, that if you take the names of those who participated in Badr and you make dua, Allah will accept your dua. My point is, Huzaifa ibn Yaman was a giant, was a great sahabi, was the confidant of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But I'm afraid he does not enjoy the accolade, and he does not enjoy the merit of being a participant of Badr. Why? Because the word that he gave to Abu Jahl was binding. O Muslim, understand, Muslim businessman, when you interact with the broader world, this is the time to exhibit the character of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَالصِّدْقُ فِي مَوَاطِنِ اللِّقَى. Honesty. وَتَرْكِ الشَّمَاتَةِ بِالْمُصِيبَ إِذَا حَلَّتْ بِالْأَعْدَى. And what did Alqama radiallahu anhu say? What was the fifth quality that was found in us from the era of darkness? We never ever in our life rejoiced over the pain. We never rejoiced over the pain of even our enemies. As Arabs, it was inherent in us. We never rejoiced on the pain of anyone, not even our enemies. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard this, he was moved. We believe, and I said it in many a talks, for us every life is precious. The life of a Muslim is precious. The life of a non-Muslim is precious. Human life is precious. Nay, today there are animal campaigns and people who speak about the rights of animals. Hassan radiallahu anhu passes a garden and an orchard, and he finds a slave sitting there, and he is busy feeding a dog, and he's eating. And then the meal is left as a slice of bread, and the slave slices it in half, and he gives half the slice to the dog, and half the slice of bread he eats himself. Hassan radiallahu anhu, with a sense of morality, he was moved to tears. He said, oh young man, dark skin, he was a slave. He said, oh young man, what made you do what you did? You hungry, you poor, you need the food. Why did you split the bread in half and give half to the dog and ate half yourself? So this person said, استحت عيناي من عينيه أن أغابنه. I looked at hunger in the eyes of this dog, and I couldn't for the sake of me eat while another creature next to me stares at me. I couldn't look at an animal. I am saying, do we have those qualities? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is walking. Safwan ibn Umayyah, a disbeliever, he looks at a flock of sheep that has covered a valley, and it belongs to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he's admiring. He's green with envy. Wow, that's so impressive. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sensed his envy. He said, "Yu'jibuka ma tara." Do you like what you see? He said, "I love it." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Then just don't love it in your thoughts. Have it." He said, "What?" You know, sometimes you read about these lottery winners, which is rather rare. When they win, many of them die with shock. Too good to be true. He said, "What?" The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "You can take all this. Do I have that generous heart?" He took the flock of sheep, one quality of generosity. He went to his nation, who were disbelievers. Ya qawm aslimu, fa wallahi inna muhammadan la yu'ti ata'an ma yakhafu al-faqr. O my nation, I have embraced the faith, and I exhort you to embrace the faith. By Allah, this man has not come to take your money, he has come to give you his money. By Allah, this man has not come to take. This quality of generosity brings Safwan into Islam and his whole tribe. Hassan radiallahu anhu is moved by the generosity of this man. He said, Ghulamu man, whose slave are you? He said, Aban ibn Uthman. Wal Ha'it, and this orchard belongs to my master. He said, you sit here. These were people who had sentiments in them. These were people who had morality in them. He goes to Aban. He said, tell me, are you the master of so and so? He said, yes. That orchard belongs to you? He said, yes. Tell me, how much are you selling the slave and the orchard for? He said, an X amount. Hassan radiallahu anhu gave him the price immediately. He returned back to that slave. He said, your generosity has impressed me so much. I have purchased you from your master, and by Allah I have liberated you. And this orchard is a gift to you. Who will then not embrace the faith? When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard these qualities from Alqama radiallahu anhu, what did he say? He said, Fuqaha udaba kadu an yakunu anbiya min khisalin ma ashrafaha. These are the jurists of my ummah. These are the authorities of my ummah. They possess the traits and the qualities of the prophets. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave a broad smile. He said, you have 15 qualities. Let me give you another 5 to complement it. And you take this 20, and then you have the good of both the worlds. La tajma'u ma la ta'kulun. Don't gather food which you will never live to eat. وَلَا تَبْنُوا مَا لَا تَسْكُنُونَ. And don't build dwellings in which you will never live. وَلَا تَنَافَسُوا فِي مَا غَدًا عَنْهُ تَزُولُونَ. And do not compete and vie with one another in things you will leave tomorrow. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي إِلَيْهِ تُحْشَرُونَ. And fear that Allah to whom is your return. وَارْغَبُوا فِي مَا إِلَيْهِ تَسِيرُونَ. And incline in the preparation of that day wherein you are going to dwell with eternity. The narration appears in Sirat-e-Mustafa. One of the non-Muslim captives of Badr said, when the disbelievers were captured in Badr, the Prophet ﷺ said, Istawsu bil usara khayra. One proclamation. Be kind when dealing with the captives. He said, I literally seen as a captive, I ate better food than my master. I was the prisoner, I was the captive. My master ate one meal, I ate two. So I said, you know what? It looks like you the slave and I'm the master. Why this? He said, my Nabi has given me directions. I must deal gently with the disbelievers and in particular with the captives. So you will eat more than me and you will eat better than me. Umayr ibn Wahab and Safwan ibn Umayyah were sitting in the haram. And they were discussing the challenges that were facing the Quraysh post Badr. Badr was a blow to them. Badr was a defeat. Badr was a fall. And they lost some very prominent high-profile people, the likes of Abu Jahl and others. So Safwan ibn Umayyah and Umayr ibn Wahab were sitting in the Haram Sharif and they were discussing this year, how can we empower ourselves? How can we mobilize ourselves? So Safwan ibn Umayyah said, Wallahi ma fil aishi ba'dahum khair. Since we lost these people, there's no more pleasure living. There's no more pleasure in life. Umayr ibn Wahab said this. So Safwan ibn Umayyah said to him, Wallahi lawla daynun alayya wa iyalun indi akhsha alayhim al-day'a la rakibtu ila Muhammadin hatta aqtulahu. You're quite right. If it wasn't for my wife and children, which is my obstacle, and the debts that I have, I would have gone beheaded, executed and assassinated Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam now and now. So Umayr ibn Wahab said, if the only obstacle is to attend to your family and your debts, then I'll take care of your family, عِيَالُكَ مَعَ عِيَالِي, and I will settle your debts. Go and kill this man and put an end to Islam. So anyway, Umar got ready. He prepared his sword. Safwan said, I'll take care of your family. And he leaves. He leaves Makkah with the evil intention to come and assassinate the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I will explain to you, this is only the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his character who converted his would-be assassins into his devout companions. Is there anybody else? Is there any other reformer in human history who has achieved this? It's the character of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Anyway, Umar ibn Wahab comes with his sword camouflaged. The Sahaba were sitting in Masjid al-Nabawi and they were cherishing their success in Badr. These people were discussing their failure. The Muslims were rejoicing over their success. So Umar radiallahu anhu looked and he said, Umar ibn Wahab at the door. Umar sensed with his inner eye, the man has come with ulterior motives. He's not clean in his intention. So he went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, O Prophet of Allah, Umar ibn Wahab is here. Wallahi ma ja'a illa li sharrin. I can read his forelock and tell you he's come with an evil agenda. Be wary. Anyway, Umar goes to him, grabs him harshly and ushers him. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Umar, leave him. Be polite with him. Be gentle with him. Be courteous with him. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam afforded him the common courtesy, welcomed him into Masjid al-Nabawi. He then greeted in Abu Sabaha, which was the traditional Arab greeting, which would equate good morning. It was morning, it would equate, a close translation would be good morning. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, qad an'amana Allahu bi tahiyyatin hiya khayran min tahiyyatikum wa hiya tahiyyatu ahli al-jannah. As Muslims, Allah has honored us with a very profound and a very rich greeting and a very wholesome greeting. We salute and greet by saying assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. Anyway, they got chatting. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Umair, what brings you here to leave your family and come all the way to Medina? He said, my son has been captured by you people and I have come with the sole intention to negotiate the release of my son. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, okay, that's fine. If you've come to negotiate the release of your son, what makes you bring a sword and weapons? He said, no, a sword is just a symbol of protection and self-defense. It doesn't indicate war or resistance or fighting in any way. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, As-sadaqta ya Umair. Umair, you want to tell me the truth and be honest? He said, I swear to God the Great, I have no other objectives. Nabi alayhi salam then looked at him and said, Umair, just rewind. You and Safwan were sitting in the haram. Safwan said, there's no more pleasure after Abu Jahl died. Then you said, if it wasn't for your wife and children, you would have killed me. Then Safwan said, he'll take care of your wife and settle your debts. And you have come with this sword to kill me. He stood up and he said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. Hada amrun lam yahdhurhu illa ana wa Safwan. By Allah, this was a private, discreet gathering between me and him. There was no third influence there. A divine being has informed you, and that is Allah. I have openly embraced the faith. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Faqihu akhakum, take your brother and now introduce him to Islam. Soon he was given the teachings of Islam and he became rich into Islam. He said, Wallahi la ada'u makanan jalastu fihi bil kufri illa ajlis fihi bil iman. I will not leave any land on which I had walked as a disbeliever, nor will I leave any land on which I sat as a disbeliever, but that I want to sit on that land and walk on that land as a believer now. So that if this earth was to testify against me that a sinner, a transgressor walked here, I'm optimistic from Allah. The evidence will now be turned positive in my favor that a companion of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has walked on my back. I'm saying, what was the character of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Thumama was captured. He was brought into Masjid al-Nabawi. He was tied to one of the pillars. Nabi Sassam prayed the Fajr Salah, walked out, looked at him and he said, Ma indaka ya Thumama. Thumama, what do you have to offer? What's your take? What's up? He said, In taqtul taqtul dha damin wa in tun'im tun'im ala shakir. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you choose to execute me, my blood will not go cheap. My nation will avenge my death. There will be a bloody warrior, there will be a skirmish. Nabi alayhi wa sallam left him and went. The next day he passes by, he was tied to one of the pillars in the courtyard. Thumama, any change of intention? He said, I hold my sentiments. I said to you yesterday, I repeat it. If you negotiate a release, then you will be releasing a man who will remember your favors. And if you choose to kill, then my blood will not go free. Nabi alayhi salam said, Atliqu Thumama. Oh my sahaba, release Thumama, release him. They release Thumama radiallahu anhu. He goes to a close by well in Medina Munawwara. He takes a bath and he comes back. He said, By Allah, 3 days ago when they tied me to the pillar, I hated you the most. And by Allah, before the third day the sun could set, I love you the most. And I want to embrace your faith. And he embraces the faith and he takes the kalima. I'm saying this was the character of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On the occasion of Badr, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's uncle, Abbas radiallahu anhu, was not a Muslim at that time. He was captured. The Ansar had captured him. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a restless night because of his uncle. Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam said to Umar in the morning, Inni lam anam al-layla li ajli ammi al-Abbas. The entire night I have not slept because of my uncle Abbas. So Umar radiallahu anhu said, should I go to the Ansar and ask them to release him? Now bearing in mind, he was not a Muslim, he was captured. Later he embraced Islam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that will be great. That will be great if you could perhaps go and, you know, negotiate this release. So anyway, Umar radiallahu anhu goes to the Ansar and says, you people have captured Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's uncle. Would you people be kind enough to release him? They said, no, he's a captive, he's a non-Muslim, he's a, warrior of the war. We've captured him. So Umar radiallahu anhu said, فَإِنْ كَانَ لِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ رِضًا. If I tell you Allah's Nabi's happiness lies in releasing him, they said, then don't negotiate, take him and go. Take him and go, what's there to ask? Anyway, Abbas was brought and he was taken. He was a captive, his condition was not very good. In his physique and in his structure, he was very muscular. He was huge in size. He didn't have clothes, he wasn't well clad. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gently just passed his gaze around to see if anybody has an added cloth to give to his uncle. So the sahaba were very willfully and they were very happy to offer. But unfortunately, none of them in their size were of the stature of Abbas radiallahu anhu. So none of them had anything. Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul, the leader of the Munafiqeen, he was massive in structure. He said, Oh Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you want, I will offer my shirt and I will give it to your uncle. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I will appreciate that and it will mean a lot to me. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took the shirt of the leader of the Munafiqeen, gave it to his uncle Abbas radiallahu anhuma. If you want to read the academic discussion of this, it appears in the tafsir, in the 10th juz in Surah Tawbah. خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَى وَلَا تُصَلِّ عَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ مِّنْهُمْ مَاتَ أَبَدًا وَلَا تَقُمْ عَلَىٰ قَبْرِهِ إِنَّهُمْ كَفَرُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَمَاتُوا وَهُمْ فَاسِقُونَ. There's a great write-up there, it appears there. In Ma'riful Quran in particular, that's where I found my point of reference. Anyway, he was clad with this particular shirt and for the moment his needs were attended to. Years later, now Abdullah bin Ubay had caused enormous pain to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When I say enormous pain, beyond imagination. But his son Abdullah was a devout sahabi. The father was the instigator, the key runner of the entire Munafiq movement. And the reason of his movement was, prior to the coming of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Medina, the people of Medina wanted to crown him as the leader. And just then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came. When he came, all focus went on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he lost his position. When he lost his position, then he started working from inside. And he created this inside movement. In English, they say, I love people who openly hate me. I love people who openly hate me, but I hate people who pretend to love me. I love people who openly hate me. If a man openly says he hates me, I understand he's transparent. But I hate people who pretend to love me. Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul were amongst those who pretended to love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When he passed away, his son Abdullah radiallahu anhu came. And he said, O Prophet of Allah, my father has died. He was a munafiq. The Quran says the worst torment is for the munafiq. إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ فِي الدَّرْكِ الْأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ وَلَنْ تَجِدَ لَهُمْ نَصِيرًا إِلَّا الَّذِينَ تَابُوا وَأَصْلَحُوا وَاعْتَصَمُوا بِاللَّهِ وَأَخْلَصُوا دِينَهُمْ لِلَّهِ. So anyway, he said, O Prophet of Allah, my father has passed away. Would you be kind enough to give us your garb? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam took out his blessed thawb, his blessed garb, and he gave it to Abdullah radiallahu anhu as a kafan to wrap the body of the leader of the munafiqeen. Scholars have given a detailed academic debate to the extent Umar even objected. Oh, Nabi of Allah, but he's a munafiq. What are you doing? Nabi alayhi salam said, Umar, leave me to do what I feel is correct. It's a long story. In the tafsir, it is mentioned the vision of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam to Abdullah was that this man, this disbeliever, was kind to my uncle Abbas on the occasion of Badr. And he had given his piece of cloth. Now that he has died, I wanted to offset his favor. I wanted to acknowledge him. That a disbeliever had displayed this kindness to me on behalf of my uncle. Hence, in lieu of this, to reciprocate his good, I have given my blessed garb. And furthermore, he said, I am optimistic. My gesture will make inroads for the people of his tribe to be attracted to the beauty of Islam. And it's written in Ma'ariful Quran, on this gesture of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, where he gave his blessed garb to be the kafan of Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul. Looking at this act alone, 1,000 people accepted Islam. 1,000 people accepted Islam. So it is the element of character. Amongst the people with whom the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had showed phenomenal tolerance, Habbar bin Aswad, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam migrated to Medina Munawwara, and then he made arrangements for his family to be brought to Medina, and he asked his daughter Zainab, who was his eldest daughter, to come to Medina as well. She was pregnant while she left Makkah on the back of a camel and she was coming to Medina. As she left Makkah and she was going, the disbelievers spotted her. And they said, isn't that the daughter of Muhammad? How can we leave her and don't harass her? Advance towards her. So Habbar bin Aswad advanced with a spear and a dagger. And he pierced it into the camel, causing the camel to collapse. And Zainab radiallahu anha to fall. And it proved to be so fatal that her child was aborted. Her child, which was the grandchild of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was aborted. Her condition was not stable to resume her journey. She was returned back to Makkah and stabilized. And when she was somehow stabilized, she was then brought to Medina. But for the record, and I'm not going into the detail, I want to show you the character of Nabi alayhi salam to fellow non-Muslims. This very injury that she sustained in the journey of Hijrah proved to be fatal and ultimately claimed her life in Medina as a result of this very same injury. It lived on with her, it was nursed, it was treated, But she never recovered. She never recovered. It continued. When the Prophet ﷺ had conquered Makkah, and he had given general amnesty and general pardon, but then he said, few people will be executed due to their horrendous crime and their evil doings. Among them, he said, is the murderer of my daughter Habbar bin Aswad. And there can be no two opinions on the legitimacy and the justification to execute the murderer of your daughter. There can be no two opinions on this. The Prophet ﷺ said, general amnesty, but there were few people. And amongst them is Habbar bin Aswad, due to the pain he has caused me. My grandchild passed away as a result, and ultimately it claimed the life of my own daughter. Anyway, the Prophet ﷺ issued this decree that wherever you see him, nab him, behead him, and end him, because he has killed my daughter. And the Prophet ﷺ was sitting in Makkah Mukarramah. This was after the conquest. While he was sitting with the Sahaba, Habbar bin Aswad walks into the masjid, and he had covered himself. Sahaba said, O Nabi of Allah, here's the murderer of your daughter Habbar. They unsheathed their swords. Can you imagine what must have happened to a man like Umar? Can you possibly endeavor to imagine what must have been the emotions in the life of Umar, who often would react to much more simpler situations? O Nabi of Allah, here's he coming. Nabi alayhi salam said, allow him the courtesy to enter and give him an opportunity to speak. Allow him the courtesy. Who? The murderer of my daughter. Who? The murderer of my daughter. He walks in. The narration is very long. It appears in Sirat Mustafa. He said, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I don't have a face to look at you. I guess my very presence will refresh the memories of your daughter. I guess my very existence will open up a very dull chapter. You have rightly issued the command of my execution, and I was on the verge of fleeing, but then someone whispered in my ears that you're a man of phenomenal patience and tolerance, to the extent that you'll even give amnesty to the murderer of your daughter. وَقَدْ سَمِعْتُ صِلَتَكَ وَرَحِمَكَ I heard of your profound caliber, and I have come here, and I am begging to kindly overlook my mistake. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said, I have forgiven you unconditionally. And he then looked at the Sahaba and said, nobody should harass him because of his evil. I have forgiven him for what he has done. He openly proclaimed the kalima in the midst of the Sahaba. When Ikrama, the son of Abu Jahl, was coming, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was informed, he said to the Sahaba, يَأْتِيكُمْ عِكْرَمَةُ مُؤْمِنًا يَأْتِيكُمْ عِكْرَمَةُ مُؤْمِنًا فَلَا تَسُبُّوا أَبَاهُ فَإِنَّ سَبَّ الْمَيِّتِ يُؤْذِي الْحَيِّ وَلَا يَبْلُغُ الْمَيِّتِ Listen, O my Sahaba, Ikrama, the son of Abu Jahl, will be coming shortly. When he comes, don't taunt him because of the evil of his late father Abu Jahl. Don't incite him, offend him, insult him because of the wrong of his father. Why? Because abusing the deceased offends the living and does not harm the dead. Because abusing the deceased offends the living. So Ikrama walks in. It's not like, oh, here's Abu Jahl's son, your father. No. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had put restraint on the Sahaba. He walks in. Nabi alayhi salam stands up to greet him, the son of Abu Jahl, the man who had caused all the pain to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He then embraces Islam. In that gathering, the narration goes on to say, Nabi alayhi salam made dua for him. Allahumma ghfir lahu kulla adawatin adaniha. Allahumma ghfir lahu kulla adawatin adaniha. وكل مسير سار فيه إلى موضع يريد بذلك المصير إطفاء نورك، واغفر له ما نال مني من عرض في وجهي أو أنا غائب عنه. Our Allah is Ikrama, the son of Abu Jahl. You have given him Islam. It is my dua, forgive him for every nasty comment he has made against me or Islam. Allah, every step that he has taken in the path of evil, forgive me. And O Allah, forgive him for insulting me in my presence or in my absence. Ikrama said, I burst into tears. I said, oh Muhammad, what a man you are. I have only embraced the faith and you showering me with such prayers. It boils down to the key component of character. I often say, as Muslims, we have to become ambassadors of this faith. And if for whatever reason we cannot become ambassadors, for Allah's sake, don't become obstacles to the faith. If we cannot become ambassadors, don't become obstacles. Don't give off the wrong notion. Remember, my brother, when you're traveling, you're interacting, you are one individual representing the broader Islam. More so in a hostile climate where journalism often chooses to be biased and makes one Muslim's actions a reflection of Islam in its entirety. All the more we need to be conscious of the implications of our actions. Am I not soiling the name of Islam? Am I not tarnishing the reputation of the Muslims? Umm Salma radiyallahu anha, what a great woman. The incident is very long, I want to share one portion of it. She says, when I decided to leave Makkah, and as we were exiting from Makkah, my people came, myself, my husband, and my son. So my tribe came to my husband and they said, you want to go, you can go, but you will not take our daughter, that's your wife. ثُمَّ وَثَبُوا عَلَيْهِ انْتِزَاعًا. And then they came and they abducted me and they told my husband, you can go. And they pulled me aside. Anyway, I was left one side and my husband had to go. When my husband's tribe seen this, they came and they said, now that you've separated the man from this woman, that child represents our tribe. We won't leave the child with the mother. So they came to abduct my child. And my tribe said, no, it is our child. ثُمَّ اتَّفِقُوا يَتَجَاذَبُونَ إِبْنِي بَيْنَهُمْ. My husband is gone. I'm on the outskirts of Makkah. My tribe and my husband's tribe both are actually pulling my child literally in front of me until they dislodged his whole arm. And they took him. فَفِي سَاعَةٍ فُرِّقْتُ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ زَوْجِي وَبَيْنَ ابْنِي. In a matter of a minute, my life was turned. We were living as a happy family, migrating to Medina, and in a minute, the whole thing turned. And we see it, sometimes it's an accident, sometimes it's a tragedy. In a second, your life can change forever. One tragedy in the family and the life is never the same. Anyway, they separated me from my husband and my child was taken one side. And my son was kept away from me for one entire year. بَقِيتُ عَلَى ذَلِكَ سَنَةً. One entire year. After 1 year, some people pitied my condition and they said, أَلَا تُطْلِقُونَ هَذِهِ الْأَسِيرَةِ أَلَا تُطْلِقُونَ هَذِهِ الْأَسِيرَةِ. Why don't you people release this poor woman, man? You've separated her from her husband, you've separated her from a child. Pity her and release her. So anyway, finally they said, okay, you can go. But she said, how can I go when I don't have my child? So someone then interceded on behalf of my husband's tribe and they returned my child to me. After 1 year, I'm seeing my child, and the last moments and memories of my child was his arm was dislodged. A good year passes, no communication. لم أشاء أن أتريث في مكة. I hasten, I take my son on my lap. وضعت ولدي في حجري. I put my son on my lap and I leave Makkah Mukarramah. وما إن بلغت التنعيم. I barely reached تنعيم حتى لقيت عثمان بن طلحة. I met عثمان بن طلحة. عثمان بن طلحة was not a Muslim at that time. I'm saying character. عثمان بن طلحة came to me and he said to me, إلى أين يا بنت زاد الراكب؟ أو أم سلمة, where are you off to? I said, أريد زوجي بالمدينة. I want my husband in مدينة. So he said to me, ما معك أحد؟ You don't have anyone with you, sister? I said, ما معي أحد إلا الله وبني هذا. I have no one but Allah and my little baby. So عثمان بن طلحة said, by Allah, you are not alone. I am going to escort you from here right into مدينة. And he said, she says, he then accompanied me. Now we know the journey from Mecca to Medina on camelback is a good few weeks. The desert, the mountainous terrain, the heat, etc. Umm Salma radiallahu anha said, I had met many people in my life. I had met many men in my life. This was the first human I met. Listen to this. And this is food for thought for every one of us here, in particular the men. She said, by Allah, from Makkah to Medina, we traveled for weeks. This man never set his gaze on me once. This man never set his gaze on me once. You think, no, because you're traveling in a flight and there's a woman next to you and it's a 10-hour flight, so you're a victim of circumstances. And might be a pleasant victim. And at the same time, he was not hostile. He was not hostile. She says, whenever it would be time to halt, he would hold the reins, he would set the camel down, فَيَسْتَأْخِرُ عَنِّي, he would move to the rear, حَتَّى إِذَا نَزَلْتُ عَنْ ظَهْرِهِ, when I would dismount, اِقْتَادَهُ إِلَى شَجَرَةٍ وَقَيَّدَهُ بِهَا. He would take the reins, he would then tie it to a tree, and then he would move away. I would sit under a tree with my baby, he would sit and rest there. When it would be time to resume, he would bring the animal, sit it down next to me, move aside again. She said, diligently, religiously, I watched this man, he never looked at me once. I would mount on, he would grab the reins, walk in front, and this practice continued. وَمَا زَالَ يَسْنَعُ بِذَلِكَ حَتَّى بَلَغْنَا الْمَدِينَةِ. He continued doing this year until we reached Medina Munawwara. When we got to Medina, he said, زَوْجُكِ فِي هَذِهِ الْقَرْيَةِ اُدْخُلِيهَا عَلَىٰ بَرْكَةِ اللَّهِ. Oh sister, your husband is in this locality. You can enter with the permission of Allah and with the help of Allah. He didn't wait for an acknowledgement. He didn't wait for a praise. He didn't wait for any monetary remuneration. He displayed this character and he went away. You think an action like this will go unrewarded in the eyes of Allah? You know, with your camera and my camera and your surveillance and my surveillance and your technology and my technology, sometimes there's a power outage and then it's gone. But the eye of Allah is always watching. This very act of his, Allah brought that day that he was favored with Islam. And at the conquest of Makkah, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam called him and said, Uthman, I am entrusting the key of the Kaaba to you. It will stay with you while you're alive and it will remain in your progeny till Qiyamah. Till today, the key of the Kaaba remains in the descendants of Uthman. Uthman ibn Talha. What? It was this element of character. What did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tell Hakim ibn Hizam? Hakim ibn Hizam was a very, very generous person. Even in his days before Islam, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, "Aslamta ala ma aslafta min khairin." Your generosity as a non-Muslim brought you into the fold of Islam. So our topic, and I'm speaking around it, much has been said. The key point that I'm harping around, for our key existence, it is character that we have to display. What did Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi say? قَدْ مَاتَ قَوْمٌ وَمَا مَاتَتْ مَكَارِمُهُمْ وَعَاشَ قَوْمٌ وَهُمْ فِي النَّاسِ أَمْوَاتُ. Many people have died a physical death, but their character has kept them alive. While others are physically alive, but their evil has killed them before they physically die. What did Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi say? قَدْ مَاتَ قَوْمٌ. Many people have physically died. وَمَا مَاتَتْ مَكَارِمُهُمْ. But their character lives with us. It has kept them alive. And other people are physically alive, but their evil has killed them before they physically die. The choice is yours, my brother. Do you want to live after your physical death? Or do you want people hoping your death while you are alive? Abdullah ibn Mubarak had a non-Muslim neighbor. Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahmatullah alayhi had a non-Muslim neighbor. So he sold his house. He put it on the market. He asked an exorbitant amount, double the going rate. People said to him, how do you justify this amount? He said, half the money is for the house and the other half of the money is for the privilege of being the neighbor of Abdullah bin Mubarak. Non-Muslim neighbor selling his house. Today, unfortunately, if he sells because of us, maybe he'll lose value. Why? Because we haven't given any character. When Abdullah ibn Mubarak heard this, he was so humbled. He went to his non-Muslim neighbor. He said, that was a very amazing gesture on your part. Could I perhaps invite you towards Islam? He said, oh Abdullah, your character made me embrace Islam the day you moved next door. Your character has made me a Muslim the day you moved next door. So let us do some soul searching, some serious introspection in terms of how do we carry ourselves, how do we conduct ourselves in terms of our dealings. What did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? He said, a person who dies while acquiring the sciences of Islam is one below the prophets. A person who dies while acquiring the sciences of Islam is one below the prophets. But when it came to an honest tradesman who fears Allah in his business, who's honest with his clients, التاجر الصدوق مع النبيين. He said, the honest tradesman, when he dies, he's not below the prophets, he's with the prophets. He's with the prophets. If I've given someone my word, al-idatu daynun, whoever I am dealing with, I have to be honest with him. There were some people that used to come to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they were very, very harsh to him. And they used to speak to him with a forked tongue. They used to manipulate their words. They used to come and say, Assalamu alayk, Assalamu alayk. وَإِذَا جَاءُوكَ حَيَّوكَ بِمَا لَمْ يُحَيِّكَ بِهِ اللَّهُ وَيَقُولُونَ فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ لَوْلَا يُعَذِّبُنَا اللَّهُ بِمَا نَقُولُ حَسْبُهُمْ جَهَنَّمُ يَصْلَوْنَهَا وَبِئْسَ الْمَصِيرُ. وَإِذَا جَاءُوكَ حَيَّوكَ بِمَا لَمْ يُحَيِّكَ بِهِ اللَّهُ. When they come to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they greet you contrary to the greetings that Allah has invoked upon you. And they say that if he was a prophet, something would have happened to us. He's not a prophet because nothing happens to us. So they would come say, Assalamu alayk, which means may death come upon you. Aisha radiallahu anha used to be very annoyed. And she one day said, may death, may curse, may destruction, may ruination be upon you. Nabi alayhi salam said, Aisha, Aisha, don't you realize Allah loves gentleness on all occasions? Oh Nabi of Allah, but look at the audacity and the provocation. Nabi alayhi salam said, but didn't you see my polite reply? I said, wa alayk, which essentially means whatever you are invoking upon me, may the same be upon you. Whatever you are invoking upon me, may the very same be upon you. If you look at the commentary of this verse which I recited in the opening, the circumstances that prompted this revelation, وَقُلْ لِعِبَادِي يَقُولُ الَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. It's a verse of the 15 Juz of Surah Bani Israel. In this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say to my servants, they must be polite in their speech when speaking to non-Muslims. The reason that, to my servants, but if you look at the background of this verse, Umar radiallahu anhu had an argument with a non-Muslim. And in the interim, the voices were raised. And it became a bit ugly and loud. And there was a verbal altercation and a verbal skirmish. And Allah revealed the verses. And the scholars say that these verses are exhorting us categorically to be polite in speech when speaking to non-Muslims. This is the beauty of Islam. I often say in interfaith dialogues, while many accuse us to be narrow-minded, and many say we are not tolerant, our faith is the most far-reaching. A Christian is a Christian if he believes in the Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him. He does not have to believe in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to be accepted as a member of his faith. And so it applies across the board. As Muslims, I am not a Muslim till I don't believe in Isa as a Prophet of Allah. I'm not saying in Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if I don't believe in Isa as the Prophet of Allah, I'm not a Muslim. If I don't believe in Musa alayhi salam as a Prophet of Allah, I am not a Muslim. If I don't believe in the Torah and the Bible in its original unadulterated form, I am not a Muslim. This is the encompassing teachings of Islam. So it boils down to this common principle of character. And see throughout the times and the ages how non-Muslims lived within our lands. Umar radiallahu anhu passes by a non-Muslim who used to pay the indemnity taxes. So non-Muslims that lived within the Muslim empire had to pay indemnity taxes, by virtue of which they enjoyed all the privileges. Al-khamru lahum kal-khalli lana wal-khinziru lahum kashati lana. They were given freedom of religion and they were given freedom of their culture. Umar radiallahu anhu passed by a non-Muslim who was begging. Umar radiallahu anhu looked at him and said, Ma ansafnak, ma ansafnak. As Muslims we are guilty, we have given you a raw deal. Umar radiallahu anhu looks at this non-Muslim and says, as Muslims we are guilty, we have given you a raw deal. Akhadna minka al-jizya fi shababatik. We took taxes from you in your youth and your prime. And now you're dependent and you are liable in your old age. He then said to him, you will sit at home and our treasury will take care of your needs till you die. These were the teachings of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. Umar radiallahu anhu is crossing the borders from Syria. He met an elderly woman on the borders. So Umar radiallahu anhu asked her, do you know Umar? She said, I don't know him, I've heard about him, but may Allah destroy him. I've heard about him, but may Allah destroy him. So Umar radiallahu anhu said, but sister, what has Umar done you wrong? How has he defaulted you? If he claims to be a Muslim, and he claims to be the leader, he must take care of the citizens. So he said to her, he was obviously, you know, playing on behalf. She didn't know she was talking to Umar. Umar is sitting in the capital, in the seat, in Medina. How does Umar know what's happening on the borders of Syria? She said, well, if he doesn't keep himself abreast of developments, and he doesn't keep himself up to speed with happenings, then he must dismount from his post. He mustn't take the post, because the post entails this. I'm saying, my brother, Allah has given us this deen. It is a wholesome deen. It's an embracing deen. A comment I have heard from many a reverts. It makes me cry. I, by my nature, I'm always intrigued to sit with reverts and find out what prompted them to Islam so that I can cherish what I have. And I have in my humble travels met many non-Muslim, and I always enjoy it What tempted you? What inspired you? What motivated you? And many reverts have told me this, and it has made me cry. And I leave you with these words. He said to me, I am grateful to the Almighty that I met Islam before meeting the Muslims. What did this non-Muslim revert say to me? I am grateful to the Almighty. I met Islam. I read Islam before I met the Muslims. He went on to say, if my first interaction would have been the Muslims, I doubt I would have embraced the faith. But I'm grateful to Allah. He led me to the pristine faith. He introduced me to the divine religion. Hence, when I seen the Muslim, I realized he does not reflect the true Islam. Now, how true, yet how painful. That's a sword piercing through our hearts that we have defaulted in terms of reflecting our character as neighbors, as businessmen, as fellow humans, as fellow citizens, as fellow creatures sharing a common planet on this earth. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq and the ability that we become exemplary Muslims and we reflect Islam. You know, I know much time has been taken. I just want to share a thought comes to my mind. And this is something perhaps it might be important that I conclude on. When you study the journey of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Medina, this was not a journey where he was inviting people. Understand this point that I'm saying. This was not a journey he was inviting people. He left under very, very secret conditions because there was a warrant against him. So in a very camouflage way, in the dead of night, in the cover of dark, disguising himself. Yet whoever he met, they just started accepting Islam. Now what's my point? You're going to China for business. You're going somewhere else for a holiday. Your character is supposed to be such, whether you are in France for business or in Dubai for a holiday, whoever comes close to you have to be attracted to this magnet. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is going, and Suraqa, who heard that the disbelievers had put the price of 100 camels for the head of Nabi alayhi salam. He said, when I heard this, I was so tempted. I said, if I can get this deal, 100 camels, it will take care of my whole family. So somebody came and said, hey, you know what? I seen Muhammad going that way in a horseman. That's him. I said, no, cannot be him. And I deliberately played it down because I didn't want this man to pursue. I said, I want to go for it. So I said, no, it can never be Muhammad. Anyway, when that man left, I told my slave girl, take my horse and meet me outside Makkah. I want to go. I mounted onto my horse and I started galloping it at its pace. And Nabi alayhi salam, Abu Bakr, Amir ibn Fuhayra, Abdullah ibn Ariqat. One was the guide, and with them these sahaba were traveling in the dead of night. They're taking shelter and moving. And Nabi alayhi salam says, Suraqa coming at the rear. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam just turned his blessed gaze and he looked at Suraqa, and the earth split and his horse started sinking. He realized this was the effect of the eye of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, oh Muhammad, forgive me. A man who wants to intercept you, how are you going to forgive him? Oh Muhammad, forgive me. Nabi alayhi salam said, okay, I have forgiven you. His horse comes back to the earth. But you know the temptation of evil? Unfortunately, I am guilty of it, and so are you, my brother. You got involved in an illicit relation. You burnt your fingers. You messed your marriage. You made tawbah. And a week passed, and again the very urge comes in and you find you succumb to that same evil. You burnt your hands. Suraqa said, okay, I'm going to leave. But then he said, 100 camels, man, I can't leave this. 100 camels. Winners know when to stop. So he said, let me try again. So he puts chase again behind Nabi alayhi salam. And he comes advancing. Nabi alayhi salam turns his gaze and it drops and it sinks. Oh Muhammad, forgive me. Nabi alayhi salam smiles and he says, okay, Suraqa, I have forgiven you. Unconditionally, the man who wants to intercept him for the sake of 100 camels, I have forgiven you. This happens for the third time, he's tempted. And he does it the same. And his horse starts sinking. Then he realizes, you know what? Leave the 100 camels, I'll lose this one horse also. The 100 camels, that's a long vision. This one horse is also going to go. He said, oh Muhammad, hands up, hands up. Can I come close to you? I want to hug you and embrace your faith. Hands up, I'm not coming to kill you. I cannot, I'm convinced. Nabi alayhi salam said, okay, come. They stop in the journey of Hijrat on a very peculiar, uncommon road because the intelligence was against Nabi alayhi salam. They stop. He meets Nabi alayhi salatu was salam and said, oh Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, right that you have given me amnesty and protection. Nabi alayhi salam writes, tells Amir ibn Fuhaira, whatever was available, who was the scribe, right, we've given him peace. He offers to Nabi alayhi salatu was salam whatever food he had for the remaining part of the journey. Nabi alayhi salam said, no, that's fine. We are taken care of in terms of our food. But one thing you can do is, if anybody is trying to locate us and put in a chase behind us, then just, you know what, move them away from us. He said, I will do this. Embraces the faith. Embraces the faith. Coming for 100 camels, leaves as a Muslim. Leaves as a Muslim. Comes back, goes to who? Abu Jahl. Aba Hakmin wallahi law kunta shahida li amri jawadi idh tasukhu qawaimu. علمت ولم تشكك بأن محمدا رسول ببرهان فمن ذا يقاومه عليك بكف القوم عنه فإني أرى أمره يوما ستبدو معالمه. Abu Jahl, come I tell you, nobody knows. Quietly in the dead of night I went. I thought I'll get the 100 camels, I'll give you some, but leave the 100 camels and that. I promise you, I tried 3 times. The man just looked a gentle gaze and I went down in the ground. By Allah, he forgave me on every instance. I was moved to tears and humbled by his apology. I have accepted the faith. I hereby invite you also to the faith, least you regret on the day of Qiyamah. They go from there, they come to the house of Ma'bad. My point here is, this was not a dedicated journey of inviting. These were, by the way, developments that was happening. Nabi Sassam didn't call Suraqa. You're not going in the path of Allah. You are going on travel. But your character ought to be such, whoever comes close to you must be attracted. You sit in a plane, the man must feel the presence of Iman. You walk into your client's place, you walk into a business venture, you sit down, you take Allah's name, you conduct yourself with ethics and morals, the man comes and asks you, what is the beauty of Islam? Ma'bad radiallahu anha, Nabi Sassam goes to the house of Ma'bad. They were very hungry on this journey, the food were exhausted, the provisions were depleted. Nabi Sassam said, oh Ma'bad, could you give us some milk from your goats? She said, I don't have. Nabi Sassam said, there's a goat in the rear there. Can I take that goat? She said, here, ajhadu min dalik. That goat is on the verge of death. You're not going to get anything out of it. Nabi Sassam said, okay, if you just give me consent, how to milk it, that I'll do. You just allow me. She said, go for it. It's a futile exercise, but it's your luck. Nabi alayhi salam sat down, read Bismillah, gently stroked the udder, and the vessel was brimming. Ma'bad said, I started looking like, is this my goat? When did this happen and how did this happen? Fill the vessel. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam first gave it to Ma'bad. Gave it to her. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi filled another vessel. He drank, gave all the companions, everyone. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said this and he left. The husband returns in the evening. Oh my wife, where's this milk and where's this goat from its udder, so much milk and all this, how did this happen? So she said, there have been some strangers making their way from Makkah to Medina and they stop here, this is what happened. So the husband said, this looks like the very Qurayshi man, the Qurayshi prophet, I'm telling you, this is him. If these are his blessings, what's the delay? Let's embrace the faith. So Ma'bad and her husband both embrace Islam. Ma'bad and her husband both embrace Islam. And Allama Suyuti has made mention of the Arabic couplets which are phenomenal, it's time consuming. Jazallahu Rabbun Nasi Khaira Jazaihi Rafiqaini Halla Khaymati Ma'badin Huma Nazalaha Bil Huda Fahtadat Bihi Faqad Faza Man Amsa Rafiqa Muhammadi Liyahni Aba Bakrin Sa'adatu Jaddihi Bi Sohbatihi Man Yus'idillahu Yas'adi Liyahni Bani Ka'bin مقام فتاتهم ومقعدها للمؤمنين بمرصدي سلوا أختكم عن شاتكم وإنائها فإنكم إن تسألوا الشات تشهدي. Amazing couplets. But one particular thing that I would like to highlight, a poet said this year, describing this whole tale of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's profound impact on this couple and how they embrace Islam. The poet goes on to say, go ask this woman about the character of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and how she reverted to Islam. And the poet goes on to say, if you get to the house and Umme Ma'bud is not there, then you can ask the goat. The goat will tell you who Muhammad was. سَلُوا أُخْتَكُمْ عَنْ شَاتِكُمْ وَإِنَائِهَا فَإِنَّكُمْ إِن تَسْأَلُوا الشَّاتَ تَشْهَدِ. One more incident and I'll wrap up. They move ahead from there. Buraida Aslami comes. I'm sharing with you three incidents in the journey of Hijrat. These were people who had their own agendas they accept in Islam. Buraida Aslami comes with 70 people and they ambush Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa is very calm and relaxed. Initially he had some bodyguards around him. Allah revealed the verse, Ya ayyuhar rasulu balligh ma unzila ilayka min rabbik wa in lam taf'al fama ballaghta risalata wallahu ya'asimuka minan nas. Allah will protect you from the people. He then released them of their duties and he said, Allah said he'll take care of me, so I don't need anyone around me. Anyway, Buraida Aslami comes with 70 people to ambush Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They come in very close to Medina. Sirat Mustafa has the narration. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, who are you? He said, Buraida Aslami. Now, if you study the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was one who would deduce good omens. In Islam, there's no superstition, there's no bad omens. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would often deduce good meanings from situations. By way of example, when they had the negotiations of the peace treaty in Hudaybiyah and Makkah, and there was a deadlock and they just couldn't break through, and one of the envoys who came to negotiate was a person by the name of Sahal. Sahal in Arabic means ease, comfort. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what's your name? He said, Sahal. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, okay, now ease has come into the matter. So this was a common practice. If somebody had a good name or there was a good indication, then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would latch onto this and extend its meaning. So Buraida in Arabic means to be cool, to be chilled. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what's your name? What's your name? He said, Buraida. 70 ambush him to kill him. He looked at Abu Bakr, he said, Baruda Amruna. Yeah, he's Buraida. So that means our matters are cooled and relaxed. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, from which tribe do you come? He said, min aslam. Now in Arabic, aslam means, it could either mean peaceful, could mean one that submit, could mean one that enjoys safety. From which tribe do you come? He said, min aslam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, salimna, then we are safe. Then we are safe. Psychology, diplomacy, interaction, sometimes a little approach. What was the vision of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, from which branch of Islam? Now it's already reducing the tension, the hostility levels are coming down, the tension is breaking, the ice is melting, inroads are being made, ambush to assassinate 70. From which tribe, from which branch of the Islam tribe? He said, Min Bani Sahmin. Saham in Arabic could mean arrow or it could mean share. If you understood the Arabic, you would appreciate the dialogue much more better. So it means share or arrow. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam latched onto the meaning of share and he said, Kharaja sahmuka. You mean you come from Bani Saham, which means share. So I guess you also have a share in Islam then. Buraida and his 70 people are melted and they read Kalima there before they enter Medina. They say to Nabi alayhi sallam, can we form part of the convoy that escorts you into Medina? Can we form part of the convoy? When they get to Medina, the people of Medina don't know. They say, oh, these people are all coming with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Only to know these were the 70 who ambushed him with the intention to assassinate him. But the profound character of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam converted his would-be assassins into his bodyguards. Then Buraida said, oh Nabi of Allah, can we create a bit of a flag? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, take your spear and my turban, and that's a perfect flag. And these 70 escort Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam into Medina. What did I say to you, my brother and my sister? These were not dedicated opportunities, but this magnetic person was such that anybody came into contact with the teachings of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, immediately there was this profound impact. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us that true living example, that we can manifest, we embody, we exhibit, we discharge, we deliver, we convey, we present, we articulate verbally and bodily the noble character of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah bless the planet. May Allah bless this country and the good that the Muslims and others enjoy here. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy that we can coexist with all other humans and creatures on this planet where Allah has put us for a period of time. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen, Sayyidina wa maulana Muhammadi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم إنا نسألك العفو والعافية والمعافاة الدائمة في الدين والدنيا والآخرة والفوز بالجنة والنجاة من النار. اللهم ردنا ورد المسلمين إلى دينك ردا جميلا. اللهم اهدنا واهد بنا وجعلنا سببا لمن اهتدى. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ونعوذ بك من كل شر ما استعاذك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.